You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network's Quantum Leap Book Club. We're just so delighted to have you all joining us tonight. Our host, Parisha, is traveling and teaching. And so tonight I am joined by my co-hosts, Geraldine Dalby Ball, an environmental biologist from Sydney, Australia. Rosemarie Heyer, she's an English teacher working with children from Frankfurt, Germany. Joyce Mullenhauer, a doctor of naturopathy, and also working with, working as a nurse practitioner as well. Marianne Love is a psychologist from Melbourne, Australia. Mike Dillar, he's the engineer and university professor from Montreal, Canada. And I am Trina Cooper. I'm a lifelong entrepreneur and a spiritual teacher out of Denver, Colorado. And I think I forgot to mention that Joyce Mullenhauer actually lives in Kingman, Arizona. So we are spread out all over the globe. You'll hear some really fun accents tonight too. And currently we're presenting The Law on Law of Attraction Quantum Leap Book Club is the book Mindfulness by Tessa Watt. And so we've been moving along in this book. We're going to be starting tonight on page 39, which is chapter 6, Brushing Your Teeth. And last week, we talked about the breath and some of the struggles that folks have working with mindfulness and the breath. And it's actually one of the best techniques, I think, in order to pull yourself into mindfulness is just to follow the breath, just to take some time, pause, be still, and just be with your breath. But tonight, I'm going to move on to chapter 6, Brushing Your Teeth. And last week, our host, Parisha, gave us all the assignment to kind of read this and pick a daily activity to study with. So I'm going to quickly review the chapter and then talk a little bit about what this is really getting to. So mindfulness is really a practice, and it's a lot like brushing your teeth. And what I really loved about what Tessa says in this book is that very much like brushing your teeth, you want to do it every day. You want to do mindfulness every day, because like brushing your teeth, if you only did it one day a week, say Sunday, it's not going to do you much good. So in mindfulness, we want to do the same thing. We want to be sure that we practice mindfulness, maybe not even just one time a day, maybe multiple times a day, because the more we practice, the better we get. And in this, he said, let's just use brushing your teeth as an example. You can mindfully brush your teeth. And I thought it was really funny when this chapter came up because I had just been to the dentist and I actually had a hygienist who gave me a lesson in mindfully brushing my teeth. So I thought it was funny that this came up, and she actually talked about, you know, letting, if you have a like an electric toothbrush, let that do the work, but focus on each tooth and the gums and move it around through your whole mouth so that you're giving yourself this, not just a cleansing, but like a little gum massage and all of that. And to do it very mindfully to make sure that you touch each piece of your tooth. And so this is really about being conscious about it instead of going unconscious or moving about our day in a way that we're just not being present or being here. Another piece that he talks about in this chapter is washing the dishes. And I remember reading this long ago from the author Thich Nhat Hanh. And he talked about washing the dishes. Just be present when you wash the dishes. Sit there and feel the suds. Feel the warmth of the water. Look at the sparkliness of the dish. And what this does for us, instead of having boring activities in our lives, we end up having an experience. And every experience that we have takes away that boredom and impatience. And it makes our lives so much more interesting, and it puts us right into the here and now. One of the reasons we're here as human beings is to actually experience things. So what better way to experience than to actually be present in everything that you're doing? So I was going to ask a couple of the co-hosts if they had picked a mindful activity. I went ahead and did the toothbrushing, but does anyone here have a sense of, an activity that they did and an experience?
Okay, Trina, I'll jump in.
Sure.
We don't want to leave you hanging like that. actually, I found, maybe I'm going to be on the scope of your question a little bit, but when I did this, I picked several things because I wanted to do it often, but two that I picked, one was sitting in the chair, because when I read earlier on that your posture is very important to the success of this whole process, I started to become more aware of my posture. So I thought, okay, well, every time I sit down, then I'm going to be very aware of my posture. And in doing that exercise, it brought me back through why I've had all these problems with my hips all these years is because I have bad posture. So I'm really, every time I sit down now, I'm getting a dual benefit of getting good posture and also being mindful.
Fabulous.
And I did the same thing on my workout. When I do my workout every morning, I have a tendency to run on the outsides of my feet. So as I do it every morning, I have to feel my big toe, so I'm turning the right way. So that's maybe a little personal, but it really shows how you can take mindfulness and just work it in any kind of crazy thing you do all day long. And, you know, if you're going to do it, just do it thinking about it.
And it really does help you do things more correctly if you're doing some kind of a workout or whatever. But mm-hmm. when you're present in the experience, it totally helps you and increases whatever it is that you're working on. It helps mm-hmm. you be better in that. So thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? One more example?
Yeah, I'm happy to share. Well, one of the things I used was washing your hands, because I remembered, I don't know if you had that too, in the time of Corona, when it was really heavy, we had all these instructions of how to wash our hands. Mm-hmm. Like they were saying, you know, you sing happy birthday two times, that's as long as you need for washing your hands. So I did that, and I agree that not only is it like that you're enjoying it more, because it was really something like, okay, wash your hands, you know, but also it was that I find myself more effective. I was just realizing that I had a little brush on the side, and I never used it, and I used the brush, and I looked at my hands, and the other thing I also used a lot, I think that's an easy start, I don't know, for me at least, is also brushing teeth. I thought that was really great, and while I was brushing teeth, I looked at myself in the mirror, and looked at my face, and looked at myself lovingly, so I had another, you know, bonus on that also. But what I have to say, I have my red notes everywhere. If I don't have them there, I just go through my day and I still keep forgetting. So installing that, for me, it's really important to have these little notes reminding me I'm doing it.
And I think that's a great practice. And that was one of the practices I used years ago, was leaving little notes around just to remind me to be mindful. And that's one way we get into it, creating that those neural pathways in our brain to remember to do certain things. And it's a great way to get started. So thank you so much for sharing. And actually, Rosemarie, I think you're up next. You're going to start us up in the next chapter.
Yes, that's chapter 7 called Body. So yes, the body is extremely important for you when you practice mindfulness. Actually, the author, Tessa Watt, says she calls it the bedrock which brings mindfulness to you. So you want to use your body first to bring you into the present moment. And you could any mindful practice, you could start with being aware of your feet on the ground, your hands on your thigh, and your buttocks on the chair. And I mean, that for me is like, I always first go in my body, and that focus on the body brings you very quickly into the now. And but she looks a little bit closer in the very crucial connection between body and mindfulness in this chapter. And first, we need to understand that most of us are disembodied, she says, most of the time. So what does that mean? I mean, we are more in our head than in our body. And that is caused, she says, by, you know, it's caused by being on the screen a lot, looking into all kinds of screens. But also, I think, because we have a very active and full lifestyle, and there's not a lot of time for being aware where we are and what we're doing. So we are often not aware that we feel disconnected from our body. And we look more like kind of from the outside at the body, like we say, okay, is it in shape, nice? Is it sexy? You know, that kind of thing. And in mindfulness, you actually practice to feel your body from the inside. And also, you want to become aware of its messages. And your body has a lot to tell you if you listen. So while you move through the day, your body is constantly picking up and constantly registering all your experiences. And it stores your emotions in its muscles and body structures. And mostly, it can be soft. It can release. It can be opening up if you are in a pleasant environment or in a pleasant activity. But most of the time, it's kind of an armor to you. It resists, it protects, and it braces you against the fear, the stress, and the threats you're having. And most important, again, you're not aware of it most of the time. So you don't notice, like when your shoulders go up to your ears, and you don't notice when your muscles in the back are tightening up, or you don't notice when you're clenching your jaw. You don't really notice. Much later, you notice when it happens a lot and you're starting to have chronic pain. Or you're starting to have round shoulders, or you're starting to have low back pain. And there's a little exercise she's reading in the book in this chapter, where she actually leads you into exercise to see how does the body actually register the stressful situation. And I'm just going to go through it. So again, it starts with the body. Sit quietly and bring awareness into your body. Feel your feet on the floor and your weight on the chair. And then think of a stressful situation you've been in. Not the most stressful events, but something manageable. You might remember giving a presentation, sitting on an exam, or perhaps a kind of a harrowing car journey. Just pick one. And now take a few moments to imagine that scene. Notice any sensations in your body now when you're in that scene. Is there anywhere where you are clenching or tightening or bracing? Perhaps you feel a shakiness or shallowness of breath. Perhaps butterflies in your stomach or any other sensations. Take note of how your body feels in the scenario so you can take some notes. So if you remember, that's pretty much how the body is registering everything you experience. And that's so far my part. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. Did you try this exercise yourself and see how that all came out for you?
Yeah, I did, actually. And I noticed, and I have noticed that before, that like I had this inside like my cat, that I'm actually tightening my lower back and I'm pulling my belly in front. So I'm always arcing, kind of arcing, you know? And then I've noticed that when I go deeper into it, like I'm really exaggerating that consciously, I can actually get in touch with the feeling behind it, you know, like the resisting. It's a resisting motion. And I thought that was interesting that I have this automatic thing of arcing up and resisting. And resistance is certainly a challenge for me sometimes. So that was really a good experience.
That's a great notice. And after noticing it the one time, you'll pick it up even more and more. You know, you'll find yourself doing it and then you'll know how to readjust. That's what's right. So beautiful about this. Thank you so much for sharing. And so we're going to move on now in the book. And the next piece is emotions in your body. And I think Joyce Mullenhauer had something to share about that.
Yes, this is a very key part following up on what has already been shared by Rosemary. Because the body, and this was a piece I hadn't even thought about. This is all raw energy, all these emotions that we tend to experience, but we don't work with them. We run from them, we hide from them. So I see this as an untapped resource that we can actually, by recognizing that this is raw energy, like the gas we put in our car isn't what they get out of the ground, it's refined. So the raw energy of all those intense emotions that are also, the intense emotions are can be positive, like joy, or they can be anger, frustration, disappointment, all the negatives. And the negatives somehow are easier to recognize. There aren't too, there's some people who have mastered recognizing joy and feeding that whole experience. So it's a bigger raw energy for them. But many people tend to have the negative emotions as the raw energy they're working with. So that raw energy is an advantage if we don't run away from it, if we don't hide from it, if we don't start shouting at somebody as a release, if we don't resist it, if our bodies don't tighten up so much that there's no way we can do the word embody by itself is just a fascinating word to me, that we actually want to instill inside our body this raw energy so that we're using it in a way that makes us powerful people and gets us past some of the major blocks that individually, and I know I've had a whole lot of them that I am identifying more and more. So we want the possibility of having a new experience. So if we picture this raw energy and we're going to tap into this resource, we can definitely do this. So why do we want to pay attention to the body? Well, the author gives us a nice list of these on the top of page 45. It brings you into the present moment when you honestly accept what you're feeling, thinking, and become aware of how the body is reacting from inside, as Rosemary talked about, as well as from the outside. To continue with your direct experience through the senses rather than just thinking about the experience, because thinking is a start in it, but you want to actually feel it so that you start recognizing and you can deal with it immediately and take advantage of it immediately. Let go of just thinking about it and come back to being. So when you use this raw resource that I'm talking about, then you can actually be the power that you can actually tap from this resource. Okay, so then you become more aware of how you're feeling, plus the physical sensations, because they do combine, and you want to discover how to handle them. And each of us individually will have a slightly different way of doing that. So the awareness exercises are helping us to do that. So when you discover your body as a home, a place you can trust and come back to, you can re-inhabit the body. Well, that was an interesting way to describe it, but that's under the concept of embodying. Instead of being disembodied, that we're dealing with everything outside, we're actually bringing back inside ourselves the power and the abilities. And they do have some exercises here that I found interesting when I worked with them, to actually explore what's different about thinking about the body and what's different about being inside the body. And I believe you need to do this a few times, maybe a number of times, to really get a handle on this. Because I know when I was doing this, I could picture the abnormal things on the outside of my hands or my fingers. I could picture the fact that my fingernails, I don't have long nails because I like to garden and nursing is never allowed or never made it convenient to have long fingernails. So I was finding the external things I was aware of when I closed my eyes, but I wasn't so aware of what was actually inside those fingers. So that's something I'm still going to be working on to really get a handle on that. So to become very aware of them, to be thinking about your fingers, but also to know without looking at them that you can feel them from the inside. And as I say that at the moment, those are more words for me than an actual experience that I can describe. So this is an interesting part, and I think you'll all enjoy it. So mindfulness helps us to move from thinking about the body to feeling it from the inside, being fully embodied. That's the conclusion of this section.
Thank you, Joyce. And when you're reading this, it brought to mind some experiences I had in some classes, and it had to do with this. We actually had to sit very quietly and get very grounded in ourselves, sit with our eyes closed and focus on the breath. And then people walked around behind us and around us, and they would just say our name. So they would say, Trina, or they'd go, Trina, or they would you know, say it in different tone inflections. And the whole exercise was to sit and actually recognize what would happen to your body when your name was said a certain way. And I was absolutely amazed at the way I reacted, the way my body sensed and felt. And, you know, they would say it one time, then you'd get yourself centered again. You never knew what direction it was coming from. And it would always come in a different voice. And it was amazing to pay attention to that feeling inside of you and what's going on with you. And as a teacher, also, and you're watching your class, this was another one, and you're kind of paying attention, maybe reading the body language of the people that are out there in the audience and stuff. And I was talking about mindfulness, and I was talking about, you know, really being present in what you're doing. And I said, you know, for instance, sometimes we have these habits, these little pieces that things that we just do. And I said, for instance, the gentleman over there, he's sitting there twiddling his pen. And the guy that I was talking about actually looked next to the person next to him and said, see, I told you, you needed to pay attention and stuff. And I just looked at him and said, no, it's not him. It's actually you. Are you even aware of the fact that you're sitting there with your pen and you're doing this? And he went, whoa. So it's amazing the little things that we do and we don't pay attention. We don't always notice. And again, feeling the inside, being able to express what you're feeling inside your body is really as important as those outside pieces. So looking at these exercises are here, they're important. They're ones to spend some time on because you'll get more present, more aware, and more in touch with who you are and being here now, if you actually go through these and do these exercises. So that is definitely an invitation that our host Parisha has said over and over again, do the exercises in this book. You will benefit greatly from it. So thank you again, Joyce, for sharing. And our next person coming up is Mike Zalar, and he's gonna cover body scan.
Great, and that was just a wonderful segue in talking about doing the exercises, because it just so happens that my section involves an exercise called the body scan. Now, the body scan is a practice that involves bringing our awareness slowly and deliberately to different parts of our body. And then you train yourself to be to pay attention in a mindful way. and we use the word mindful a lot. And so what we mean when we say use your or pay attention in a mindful way, what we mean is on purpose, that you're placing your focus where you choose to place it. So it's mindfully being placed where you focus it. And it's in the present moment, noticing that whatever sensations you're feeling them right now, right now, right now. So it's in this place right now. And it's non-judgmental. And to me, this is the biggie. It doesn't matter if it feels good, it feels bad, it hurts, whatever. It is what it is. Just observe what it is. And I think that maybe is the biggest challenge, but also the coolest thing is to be able to just watch kind of your emotions go by. So here's this little practice, and we're going to do this all together. So the purpose is not really to become relaxed here or to get into any kind of particular state. It's just to bring a little friendliness to your body and get in touch with it. So what you're going to be doing is actually breathing into specific parts of your body. So just bear with me when I say breathing into them. We'll get to that in a sec. But you can do this however you feel comfortable. So you could be sitting down in a chair with your feet on the floor, put your hands in your lap or wherever it's comfortable. If you can do this lying down if you want. But the idea is, so at the beginning, you know, just relax and settle in. Now, I had not, you know, I went back through some of these exercises, and it doesn't always tell you to close your eyes, but I find if we're doing these mindfulness exercises where you're feeling your body, for me, it certainly works a lot better if you close your eyes. So start by feeling the weight of your body. Notice all the places where you're in contact with the floor or the chair if you're sitting down. Notice the movement of your breath in your body. And you can place your hands on your belly if you want and bring your awareness to the sensations in your abdomen, rising and falling with each breath. Now, bring your awareness down to the left side of your body, to your left toes, tuning in to any of the sensations there. Left toes. What can you feel, if anything? In each of your five toes, can you feel them separately? Can you feel them in contact with the other toes or in contact with your shoes or your socks? Now, imagine that you can breathe all the way down your body and into your left toes, and then breathe back up from the toes out through your nose or mouth. Don't strain, but just try this for a few breaths, breathing down into the toes and then back up from the toes. Do that for a couple of breaths. Have a sense of the breath moving down and your awareness moving with it. And then the breath moving back up and your awareness moving with it. Now, as you continue to breathe in and breathe out and breathe in and breathe out, on your next out breath, now we're going to allow the focus on the toes to move out a little bit to the other parts of your left foot. So the top of your foot, bring your awareness to the sole, to your heel, up to the ankle. Notice any sensations, tightness, softness, heaviness, pain, whatever is there. Now, as you feel ready, keep breathing, keep your awareness. And now when you feel ready, broaden your awareness to take in the whole foot at once and play with a sensation of breathing the whole foot now. So breathing in and out, all the way down to your entire foot. So breathe in down to your foot and breathe out up from your foot. Okay, let the attention go to your foot and then move your awareness slowly through the rest of the leg. Notice any sensations in your lower leg, in your bony shin, fleshy calves. Bring your attention to your knees. Feel the kneecaps, the muscles, the tendons, soft underside. Move your awareness to your thigh and heaviness of your big thigh bone. Feel the contact with your clothing or the seat that you're sitting in. Now broaden your focus out so you have the whole left leg. And as if you were shining a beam of light on the leg from the toes up to the top of your leg, explore that thigh. Breathe the whole distance. Breathe into the leg with a sense of filling the whole leg with breath and awareness. Now, we're not going to take up all the time doing the exercise, but the idea is also to do the same thing on the right side. And with all of the mindfulness practices, don't worry so much if your mind wanders. That's completely normal, and it happens to all of us. I can attest to that myself more often than I'd like. Each time, just notice your attention's wandered and then bring it nicely back. And at the end of it, rest and just go back and review the sensations that you felt from the different portions of your body and whether you were able to connect closer to an individual part of your body, like a toe, or better, or like the whole leg. And, you know, your attention has different settings. And I guess that's what the thing to think about from this section is. It's almost like a camera focus. You can have a narrow focus on your little toe, or you can have that broader focus on your entire leg or foot. So mindfulness helps you to train this ability to zoom in and zoom out, but it also trains you on the ability to decide what you want to do. So that's the exercise.
Thank you so much, Mike. Was there any particular aha moments for you doing this exercise? Anything that came to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've been so in touch with these screwy things with my body, you know, bad posture and all this other stuff, that every time I sit down and do that, it's almost like I'm focusing in on those ones. So maybe they're overriding in my case. And I don't think I'm a good barometer in this case because I'm working so much on my legs.
It's fabulous though, to be able to isolate and bring your attention to certain pieces of your body. And especially if you're doing healing or you're not feeling well, or you know, you've got something that you want to work on, to be able to maintain that focus and breathe into it. I mean, she's really working a lot with the breath in this book.
And you know what? You know what? It's so natural. It's so natural. I can remember being a little kid and going to bed at night and starting at my toes and relaxing my body. And I always knew I would fall asleep before I got to my head. And it was just like, I don't know where I got that from. It was like there. It's like we naturally know these things, but we choose to forget them, I guess.
I think we totally do. And when you think about it, and you brought up being a little kid, you watch babies and you see the babies, and all of a sudden they have aha moments of a sensation or a part of their body that they all of a sudden just discovered. And it's amazing because they'll focus on it for such a long time and then it just kind of drifts away and they forget about doing that again. So this is bringing us all the way back to really paying attention. But again, as Joyce shared, not just the outside of what we recognize, but also the feeling coming from the inside. So thank you so much for sharing. That was great. And now we're going to move on to being with difficulties. And I believe Geraldine has something to say about that.
Definitely. And it leads exactly from what you were saying, Mike, where when you do these practices, it's okay that the mind wanders. And in fact, that's the very beginning of what this section is. It says three points really here. It's okay if you're feeling pain or discomfort in the body. And it gives you a little idea of how to work with that. Go to the pain, feel it. Can you find the edges? Can you see what it is? Can you allow it to be as it is? And also, if it's too much pain, can you observe or notice another part of the body that doesn't have the pain? So that was pain or uncomfortable. It might not be pain. It might just be that, hey, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm feeling this part of my body, a discomfort there. It could be that your mind is wandering. And as we said, it's natural. And that's exactly what the book says. This is natural. And it says, just practice bringing the attention back. And a key thing, with good humor. So often that's more a thing to learn than the wandering. When you notice it, it's like, oh, okay, I was wandering. Smile, nice to the self, happy hormones, and back. It'll make everything easier. The other one is feeling irritated. So obviously the two go hand in hand. If you can feel okay with the wandering mind and bring it back, you're probably less irritated. You might say, well, this isn't relaxing. The idea of mindfulness is not necessarily to be relaxing, although it does have the positive benefits because of the hormones and things that are released. It can reduce your stress. That's been looked at many times in other studies. So longer term, yes, but in the moment, it may not be relaxing. So it's saying if you feel irritation in the body, again, like pain, feel it. But here, can you just allow it to be as it is? Because then we can move our focus off it. We don't have to necessarily fix it in that moment, but allow it to be as it is. And there is more information on this, which is why it's so super to get the book. You could go straight to chapter 16 if this was something you'd like to work on. And there's a lot more of working with these practices of restlessness in chapter 16. Now, there is another exercise. In the book, there's a wonderful star next to it saying, try it now. And we'll read it. But I do note this is a 25 to 45 minute exercise is what's recommended. So, of course, that's not what's going to happen right now. Through the reading, though, you can either choose to listen and see, okay, now I understand what's going to come up. I can be ready for that. Maybe there's a word that's not clearly understood. You can look that up. All of these things, reading through a practice first, allows you to get clear on each of the areas. So there's definitely merit in reading this exercise. And then they give us a website right in the middle of the exercise. So you can go and download an audio copy. Or if you have the book, again, you can record it in your own voice for listening to at your own pace. So I'll read out that website address, www.introducingbooks.com/mindfulness. And that's where you can download a guided body scan. But do get the book and then you'll have it in writing and you can read it out for yourself and tape it. So I'll start now reading through it and it'll just take us a couple of minutes. And it'll give you a feeling for what's there and things you might need to check up on and clear. And they do say it's not easy doing a full body scan while reading the book, hence that's why you'd normally listen to it. But if you do only have the book, they say you can definitely do this for the feet and legs and keep repeating that. So that's the exercise that you just went through with Mike. And continue that and you'll find a flow through to the whole body. So now here's the instructions. Settle into your body, as in the previous exercise, lying down or sitting in a chair. Feel your weight and the contact with the floor and the rise and fall of the breath in your abdomen. Now begin your scan of the body. Each in place, spend a few moments noticing whatever body sensations are here and exploring breathing in to the different regions. The exact order is not so important, but move as systematically as you can without skipping around too much. Left leg, toes, foot, calf, and shin. Knee, thigh, whole leg. right side. Toes, foot, calf and shin, knee, thigh, whole leg. Hips, buttocks, pelvic area. To your back, lower, middle and upper. To your torso, belly, mid-torso, chest. Arms, both together. Fingers, hands, lower arms, elbows, upper arms, shoulders. Head, neck, back of head, ears, jaw, parts of the face, whole face, top of the head. At the end of the practice, you can imagine yourself breathing through your whole body, from the crown of your head to the toes and back again. Have a sense of the breath washing through the body, reaching every cell. Finish by resting for a few minutes with a sense of the whole body breathing, present and complete. So as I said, that's a very quick, not a scan, but really an introduction to the body and the process. And definitely invite you to be doing the 25 to 45 minute version of that one. And as it says, again, I love how this book has little images and things to draw your attention. And this one says, remember this, with 3 exclamation marks. When you bring your awareness into your body, you're learning to be with whatever is here, including sensations which are uncomfortable. You can train yourself to be gently inquisitive about your sensations and let them be as they are. This can help you in stressful situations to be with difficult feelings rather than reaching, lashing out, or running away. And as a quick conclusion to that part that we've just looked at, being with something, or as we've been taught the word confront or come to the front. When we bring something to the front, that's often the first step in being able to manage it. It's not that we need to solve it in that moment, but if we can bring it to the front, then we're on step one. And a beautiful thing about the mindfulness is it's like a glass of clay and sand that's been shaken up. By doing a mindfulness practice like the scan, that can start to settle. And that's allowing things to come to the front. So all the best with doing your full body scans.
Thank you, Geraldine. That was awesome. And I found as you were reading, for me, just going through when it said arms both together, I went, whoa, how can I pay attention to both my hands and both my arms at the same time? And so I think you can maybe move back and forth, or after a lot of practice, you just really feel it coming, the breath going in and out of both arms. But that was just something that happened with me as you were reading that, noticing I was jumping from like one hand to the other hand, to the forearm, to the other forearm. And so that's just the natural progression. And I love the fact that you stressed it's natural. This is natural. So we just need to get comfortable, and that comes with practice. So again, thank you again so much for that. And does anyone have any little comments about the body, something they want to say before we move on with Marianne to attitude?
I thought with that one that it'd be really great to record it with your own voice and then do it at your own pace, because I know Geraldine was just giving us an intro into that in the time that we had, which was really good. But, you know, like just trying to keep up and have the space, and all of us are really different, I think, in what we need in these contexts. So to record it for yourself, I think, could be really powerful, and adjust it to what you need. Yeah.
I think so too. And again, with the practice, it gets more and more comfortable. And I think you'd be surprised at what you discover about yourself as you do this. Kind of interesting. Yes. Well, would you like to start us now on chapter 8, attitude?
Well, it certainly, after all this, you know, scanning the body and getting in touch, like the thing we're left to face is our attitude and our perspective. And it actually is one of the most important things when doing mindfulness practice is your attitude. And, you know, coming from an attitude of acceptance and non-judgment is the ideal. But often what all of us will find is that we have this inner commentator and it's always talking, always making judgments, going on and on and on. And often it's a negative voice. It has shoulds in there. It has how things could be different. And often what I find is when you sit in focused mindfulness, you actually hear the commentator even louder. And that can be a reason that people don't want to get into the mindfulness practice. But knowing that that is actually a normal part, that we have this commentator that's often critical and it's often either blaming ourselves or it's blaming the outside world. Maybe it's blaming our meditation teacher or the environment we're in, or maybe the noise is too much, the traffic's too loud. Like, who knows? But it's blaming something internally or externally. And so in order to manage that, then look at like considering the different voices inside, which could be, say, a gentle grandparent, a loving, kind role, or it could be something that slaps you down. You could notice the tone of your voice. And as you're practicing mindfulness, become more like the gentle grandparent, the kind, loving soul, the good friend, and start to just allow yourself to, in all that is, everything is fine and normal, everything is good, and just to allow a gentle focus to come back to your practice. So if you go into a mindfulness practice and you notice your mind's wandering, or you know, you don't want to focus on your foot. Who knows? You want to focus on what's for dinner tonight or how your kids are annoying you, whatever you want to focus on. Just be kind to yourself and just come back to the focus of the practice, whatever that is. Like, you know, some people have said, like herding cats, you know, you just bring them all back to the center, lift them kindly back and put them back in the middle of the tray, you know, if that's where you want them. So it's just like gentle kindness, loving voice, you know, and actually you notice that more you practice that, the more it comes into your day-to-day life, that it just extends beyond the practice of mindfulness and meditation. And ultimately, we're making friends with ourselves. If we're our own best friend, just imagine if we're our own best friend and we go with ourselves everywhere, imagine how wonderful life is. And that's what the benefit of looking at acceptance and non-judgment as a practice will give us in our day-to-day life. And I certainly see that in the work that I do as a psychologist with people. It's fundamental to well-being, actually, is our attitude to ourselves. Yeah.
Would you read Sarah's experience? I think it's pretty interesting to hear her point of view.
Sure. So Sarah is in her 20s and works in events and media. She joined a mindfulness course after a stressful year of work, followed by an equally stressful period of being unemployed. The thing that encouraged me about mindfulness was the non-judgmental side of it. The most helpful thing was the idea of being okay to not feel okay. That had a real resonance for me. I've had problems with depression, and there was a resistance from people like my mother who'd say, "Oh, you just need to eat a good meal," rather than accepting that this is a real thing that exists. So it really helped, the idea of it being okay for you to feel the way you're feeling and understanding that you're not unique, that they're not unique thoughts in any way. The idea that it's okay to feel depressed or sad rather than doing the British thing of sweeping it under the carpet or trying to fight it. They're both not particularly good strategies for dealing with the problem. If you can find a level of acceptance, then you're on track to deal with it.
I do like that. And the last little piece of this about acceptance.
That versus resignation. Can you touch on that a little bit too?
Sure. Would you like me to read it?
Sure. It's got a beautiful little serenity prayer in there. So that's very nice.
How about I give you that? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mm. Mindfulness helps us to allow the space for this natural wisdom to emerge.
And I think it really is that challenge for us of having acceptance of ourselves and where we're at and not giving up. You know, just really being okay with who we are. I think that's important.
Yeah, and just to really accept and see things as they are and not struggling with reality, you know, just surrendering to what it is, and then we can all change what we don't want and don't like.
I do remember a teaching that I had that said, accept the unacceptable and move on. And it helps me a lot, because when something big happens, it's like I can't go back and change it. It just is what it is. So how do I want to look at it? And part of that is being mindful with how I feel. And part of it is being mindful about maybe what needs to happen next, but being aware in the moment and not running away from it and just being really connected to it. So we do have time to go on to animal taming.
I can recount a story that might go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says that, you know, basically what they're trying to explain to us in this section is that our mind is pretty wild and untamed. And unless we get in touch with it, we won't. And the way to train it is obviously with discipline, but with kindness and with patience, as Marianne has been stating so eloquently. You know, and I think that the whole thing about animals, if anybody knows animals, is that you never win if you try to be rough with them. Never. And the only thing that they really respond to is kindness. And so how are you going to respond any differently? How are you going to react any differently? Basically, we're all the same stuff. We're all connected and we're all spirits in bodies. And I don't think there's an animal out there who's going to respond willingly to any meanness or roughness or discipline. Yes, they understand discipline. My cat understands discipline when I tell her, come here and I'll pat you if you come here. I'm not going there. You know, so she understands there's a routine. And I think discipline and routine is important, because if we do the routine of doing the mindfulness practices, whether we know how it works or not, it works. So we just keep going with the routine, and animals like that discipline of a routine, but they don't like the meanness.
Exactly.
True to them is with kindness.
Yeah. If we beat ourselves up, then we're not going to want to do it. But if we can kind of look at ourselves and be kind and gentle, and yeah, my friend would just sit and go thinking, 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 and kind of make a fun game out of it if she caught herself. And then she'd just move back, you know, kind of giggle, move back in, and just really being kind to yourself.
And I think it goes hand in hand with doing the process, you know, and I think that's why grandmother underlined the other day, you know, if you're going to do this, if you're going to read this book, do the practices. If you're not going to do the practices, don't read the book. And I think that the reason for that is because you have to go through the motions. You'll get it. Believe in the process. And I think that's also part of it. You don't have to be mean to yourself. Just believe in the process and do it and watch what happens. That's the way I look at it.
And also, I think finding other people's stories, because I think when you do it on your own, you think you're the only one going through it. But actually, when you know every human has trouble with focus and that, you know, it's described here because it's every human situation. So when you sit down and do a mindfulness practice and your mind's going all over the place and you're criticizing and you're doing all these things, know that every other human is going through exactly the same thing, and they're going to train that exactly the same way it's saying in the book, like you're going to train it. So it kind of takes the edge off, I think, when we know we're all in the same boat.
I agree. And I also think a key thing that's helped me and others that I know is for those of us who are interested in fitness and how our body changes with what we do, I can't start swimming again and expect the six pack to come after the first five laps. It doesn't happen. But just as we're saying with the mind, consistency, and did I really want to get out of my warm bed this morning and go to the beach? Every cell of my body was saying, hell no, what are you doing? And even as I got in the car, it's like, I don't want to go in. We're not going. Then I come out of the pool and it's like, oh, that was actually really good. While I was in the pool, I was managing my mind. Believe me, there was a monkey in there listing all sorts of things. However, it's that the same with the body. The muscles come, the fitness comes, the flexibility comes. It's not in the first yoga class. And if we can see that analogy, which most people will get that it takes a while to recreate a body in a way that you want it. Keep it subtle and fit. It's not, I'll do it once a month. It's daily. And the mind is the same.
I really like the idea or the last sentence on that chapter of letting go, where she writes, instead of wanting things always to be different, you let yourself be open to things as they are. And that reminds me on the first favorite sentence in the book, which I always liked, is if it is not from stilling the stormy weather of life. So you're not stilling the stormy weather of life while you're doing mindfulness, but you're learning to ride its chaotic energy, which is basically that animal. And for me, my animal is a tiger. And I've been thinking when we were starting the book, I thought about all these images of monks and Buddhists who are, you know, all these sculptures who are sitting on a tiger. And so it's really, that's what it feels to me like right now.
That's awesome. Joyce, could you read that last experience from Marion? I think these stories are really helpful.
Sure. The piece of advice I found really useful is that whatever's happening in the practice is what's happening. So this is back to things as they are. So if you're completely bored and frustrated and thinking, what the F is this about? That's the meditation. That particular meditation is, I think this is a load of shit. I don't know why I'm even trying. If you're feeling calm or feeling angry, that is how you're feeling. The practice is just being how you are at that moment. And that's hugely liberating. Actually experiencing what's going on without an expectation for it to be different. If you do that a little tiny bit each day, I don't know how it works, but you will find that you will feel very different after a while.
Marianne, could you read that first paragraph under letting go?
So in nature, things take their own time to unfold. Seeds grow, eggs hatch, butterflies emerge, and all in their own good time. Likewise, our mindfulness practice will take its time to unfold naturally if we can be patient and open to each moment.
Thank you. And we're coming up to a time right now that we're finishing up the show for tonight. And again, letting go. This is natural. Be patient with yourself. Really embrace the moment and what's going on. And know that it's just perfect, just the way it is. So in closing today, I want to thank all my co-hosts and thank all of you for joining us. And wish our host, Parisha, safe travels and good teaching. And so right now it's time to conclude our studies, and we thank you for sharing your time and energy with us. And we want you to know that you matter and you count and that you always make a difference. So we look forward to you being with us again next week as we make that leap into greater consciousness. So we wish you all a powerful week and allow your light to shine and practice your mindfulness. And always good things to you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.